Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Do you remember the moments you realized that death was a part of life? It's different for each of us, of course, as some of us, for whatever reason, have it thrust upon us early, while others of us are afforded the opportunity to take our time to understand it. How did it happen for you? Has it happened for you? When did you realize that death was a part of life? We remember the story of the young boy who, upon hearing at the dinner table about the death of a neighbor's pet, grows quiet, thinking, processing, the wheels turning in his head, until later that night when his father goes in to tuck him in and he says through sudden tears, "Daddy, I'm going to be so sad when you can't see me anymore." I'm going to be so sad when you can't see me anymore. And in that moment, the reality of death became real, not just for the little boy, but for his father, who finally understood that on some level, the hardest death we face is not our own, but of the people we love, or rather the people who love us, who know us, who see us. I'm going to be so sad when you can't see me anymore. Today is All Saints Sunday. Today, when we pause to confront the reality of death together. Today, when we remind each other that though we can no longer be seen by our loved ones in the same way as before, that does not mean we are not seen. This is a day in which we pause to celebrate the gift of our faith, the reminder, the promise of our faith, that despite how hard death is, and it is, that there is life after death, not just for those who have died, but for those of us who have remained behind. Do you hear? There is life possible after we have experienced the loss of a loved one. Life is always possible. Every year we pause in a service to list the names of those who have died in the last year and to remember those we might have missed. But the truth is, those are not the only names that we are remembering today. Maybe you have a name in mind of someone you're thinking about this morning. Maybe you have someone in mind who you remember when they could see you and know you. That's the thing that's hard about a pandemic. When every day we have a cumulative running death total, it's easy to forget that behind every statistic, behind every number, is a name and a person and a story and someone who misses them. Someone who longs for nothing more than to be seen by them again. Sure, this is a hard topic to talk about. We'd rather hear a stewardship sermon or something, which in a way this is. We do almost anything in our power to avoid thinking about it, don't we? We avoid it as much as we can, but we recognize that if we avoid it too much, it can cause harm. How many people have lost a loved one only to suddenly find their name dropped from every conversation they have? as if by not naming them, we somehow make the loss less real. The truth is, it sometimes makes it worse. Death is a part of life, friends. And at some point, we all have to face it. As one of my predecessors in this pulpit is fond of saying, death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. And so, my fellow humans, today, just for a moment, we pause to face it together. Sure, some of us struggle with this, and if you do, then good news, you are human. Because all of us at some point struggle to make sense of this mystery of death that is always upon us, that mystery of death that we don't really know when it's coming, that mystery of death that we all struggle to understand. Sure, some of us think about death more than we should, and some of us not nearly enough, but maybe by pausing and confronting it together, we can make some peace with it. I know of one member of our congregation who has an app on his phone called We Croak. Its sole purpose is to remind him 5 times a day that he will die. Sure, it is lighthearted and maybe a little morbid, but it also reminds him of what it takes some of us our whole lives to figure out. That it's only by facing the reality of death that we can truly embrace life. Which, after all, is why we're here, friends. We're here to remind each other of what it means to fully live. Remember what Jesus said? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Not just at death, but right now. He came to show us what it means to not waste the time we have. Surely those who have lost someone in this last year recognize the new perspective that death affords us. It reminds us, if nothing else, of how precious the gift of life actually is. That every day we are given a gift of a day, wrapped in a choice. We don't know how many gifts we will use. We never know what a day is going to bring. So let us not waste the gift we have of today. And today we even have an extra hour, so why not use it? Those who have experienced great loss understand something that those of us who have not don't. The preciousness of life. Look at the widow in our story. See, Mark was writing to a community that understood death. He was writing from somewhere in the Roman Empire, but to a people who had seen Jerusalem fall, the temple destroyed, who had seen the reality of death and yet dared to proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ life. They proclaimed life even in the face of death. They proclaimed life, even when all around them, all it looked like was dark and dank and dreary. Maybe we recognize the moment that they dared to proclaim life, even in the face of death, reminding each other that, yes, death is a part of life, but the good news is it's only a part. And that maybe by finding our way to confront the reality of it, we might fully embrace life. The widow was the quintessential example. See, Mark understood both the plight and the might of the widow. He warned, of course, of those in religious authority, especially those who wear long robes and sit in nice places and occasionally say long prayers, of what it is like to devour a widow's house. That is, he reminds those of us in authority, especially religious authority, against taking advantage of the economically oppressed, something we could all afford to hear. But no sooner has Jesus said this in Mark's passage than he looks over and he sees a poor widow come and give 2 coins to the treasury. And he says, truly, I tell you, she has given more than all of those who have contributed to the treasury, for they have given out of their abundance, and she, out of her poverty, has given everything she had, all that she had to live on, or as literally translate, her whole life. She gave her whole life. It's a tricky passage. It could, of course, be an example of those who would devour the widow's houses, of how easy it is to be taken advantage of when we're mourning, of giving our lives to something that we think will give us life back, only to find ourselves lost and empty. It is a warning to avoid that. Some of us have been there. But maybe on this All Saints Day, when we've experienced so much death with running totals in our world, maybe this is a day when we stand and just hear the passage for what it tells us, that here is a woman who, despite all odds, was courageous enough to step forward one foot in front of the other and give of herself despite having so much lost, who was willing to find something that she could give her life towards, her whole life, to find it, something that she believed in, and go all in. Friends, what would that mean for us? What would it mean to not take advantage of others, but to give to them? What would it mean to find that thing that we believe in and go all in? What does a widow understand that the rest of us don't? The preciousness of life. The only way to fully honor the person whose lives we have lost is to fully live our own. To recognize that though they can no longer see us in the same way, and yes, we are sad about that, that doesn't mean that they're not with us. Remember our faith. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, of those who see us, if not with their eyes, but with their spirit, and who are standing beside us and behind us and in front of us and surrounding us and reminding us, begging us to not waste the power of sight, that because we have been seen, because we have been known, because we have loved, we ought to also love and know and see others. Do you hear the promise of our faith? The hope of Jesus Christ is that there is life after death, not just for those who have died, but for those of us left behind. Let us not be afraid to embrace it. Because the good news, friends, is that though death is a part of life, it is only a part. And it is not the end. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.